Na 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 na. Hey! Gotta love that podcast show. Na 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 na. Hey! Yeah, I love that podcast show. Oh, BS and beer is the place to go to get all the Saints news. Hell yeah! Podcast show. Na 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 na. Hey! Gotta love that podcast show. Na 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 na. Hey! Yeah!
Now, recording live, it's the BS and Beer Podcast crew with your host, David Romero.
Welcome in another week, another edition. It's the BS and Beer Podcast crew recording live, wall-to-wall New Orleans Saints football talk from our studios at Meat House. With me today, Heath Elsenson, Wesley Coleman. So grab a drink, sit back and relax, because for the next hour or so, we'll be doing New Orleans Saints football talk, BS and beer style.
Hey, folks. All right, listen. I'm so not in the mood for you guys. You're blabbering on and on, okay? And it's enough, all right? It's enough. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, today's Monday, all right? So stop doing your stupid radio thing. And if you want to pick up where you left off tomorrow, at least it'll be Tuesday. All right, so just keep it down. Actually, don't keep it anything. Just stop, okay? Just stop doing what you're doing.
Gentlemen, hold up here. I'm checking my notes. I can't find a score to the game. Somebody help me out. They Saints won, or they didn't lose last week. I know that.
Yeah,
sure.
Well, so, I think it was a tie.
So we had a week off, and I know people, because we decided on Tuesday, or maybe it was Monday night, not to record tonight or that night where we usually do, so that we can, you know, have more information to talk about. And I know people are like, there they go again. They ain't recording. They think we lazy.
Yep.
They think I'm lazy. I made a good, these guys are hard workers. I mean, some of the hardest working podcasters in the industry. And I just, you know, man, I'm sick, COVID, lazy, all that stuff. But anyway, the Saints, a lot of good news coming out today. It's Thursday. And I'm, let's bring Wesley in. Wesley, why don't you go ahead and start listing off all the players who came back from injured reserve and guys who weren't on injured reserve but were injured who practiced today.
So people who practiced today, we've got Will Lutz, Teron Armstead, Eric McCoy,
wow,
Traquan Smith, Quan Alexander, Nick Vinette, Ken Crawley, Chase Hansen. Settle down, guys.
Nice. Easy. Easy.
And then I can't, I don't know if I've heard Marcus Davin. Marcus Davenport.
Stop it.
So those are the guys. Eight guys or nine guys returning. And a couple of those pretty big. And I think even some, maybe some flying under the radar, pretty big ones there too that wouldn't necessarily stick out.
Yeah. All right. Well, Heath, I'm going to bring this up to you first since Wesley went and broached the subject. I was pointing out to you via statistics that through three seasons, Marcus Davenport had twice the stats that Hendrickson had. In addition to that, really think about it, since Davenport only played about three quarters, he's actually averaging more sacks per game than Hendrickson is right now. Opinion. I need to hear it.
Well, for the first 3 years, neither one of them played a whole lot. they suffered from the same problem.
Well, the argument that could be made is that Hendrickson actually was inactive for a lot of those games. Davenport was just injured. So
yeah, they were inactive. Yeah, but just for
what happened reasons. The last 2 years, Dave?
What?
A year and a half.
My memory ain't that good, man. You just got finished talking about my onset dementia problems here. Now, one of the things, Heath, is I'm gonna go serious with you now. Let's keep it real. Okay, calm down, fellas. Order over here. We looks like we're gonna gain Traquan Smith. We'll talk about Thomas shortly.
Yeah,
but we lost Taysom Hill. Didn't practice today. And Harris, we lost. I say lost. He didn't practice today either. And actually, we lost another wide receiver who used to play lacrosse, and I don't even remember his name, but not a big. But we lost three receivers. We gained one. We lost three. So I mean, positive, net positive. What? How's it going to work?
Yeah. Well, Harris is a big loss. Obviously, both in the return game, and he's you know, at least once a game, he's catching a 70-yard touchdown, it seems like, or whatever. But, you know, Traquan Smith, we'll see, you know, man. I'm hoping this guy finally shows what, you know, we've been waiting. You know, shown
I find it weird that you can't even make eye contact with me when you're saying this. So I feel like you're not telling the truth, man.
I'm not. My nose is growing too. Look, but, you know, he makes a big difference in the run game, right? Because he's a hell of a downfield blocker. And it's the same thing I think that Vinetta is going to bring. Those two guys coming back are going to help the run game. Of course, we down several running backs too. We'll talk about that, I guess. But we gained one and lost three. Or we signed three and lost. I don't know what it is, but we signed four. We're trying to sign. We collect
the running back situation. Now. Yeah. So
does Traquan Smith coming back make Callaway better, though?
Does that well, I think so. You know, I mean, yeah,
rather than just Traquan having better numbers?
Certainly, because as you elevate, you know, the quality of each receiver, then that's going to trickle down the line. And so instead of Hogan or one of these other guys being, you know, the defense is going to have to pay a little more attention, I hope, anyway, to Traquan Smith than they did to Hogan, who's the guy you couldn't remember, Dave.
Thank you. It's very, very thoughtful of you. Now, here's the thing. You have these receivers, even if Traquan Smith isn't great. And listen, I mean, he's done nothing to prove that he's great, although I don't think he's really done anything to prove that he's as awful as everybody's trying to make him out to be. No. But having said that, you know, they don't have to double him, but no matter what, defense is going to pay the most attention to your best player. So when you bring Traquan Smith, in my mind, you might make the argument that Harris is a better receiver, but listen, he's not a better every down receiver. He can't do everything. He can't run every route, but his presence on the field has to be given attention. Then you have Traquan. I believe that this is going to be like, watch the next thing. I'm certain of it. We're going to hear how great Callaway is. Oh, he finally broke out, and fans will be talking about with no regard for the fact that the attention is now being placed on other guys and he has less coverage on him. And attention, and I believe that he's a good receiver. He can catch the ball, and he has a propensity to make good plays. I'm being careful with my words here, but Wesley, I think that he could. I don't know how to define it. I break out, like, have two catches a game, three catches a game. You know,
I would say that Callaway has more catches in his first six games once and if Michael Thomas comes back than the first six games of this year without Traquan and Michael Thomas on the team. Now, again, like you said, we can't then forget and say, I mean, Callaway is more valuable if he's your number three receiver than if Callaway's your number one receiver. And that's nothing on him. He's not there yet. I mean, maybe someday he can become a number two or something, but he's an undrafted guy from – it's only been a year and a half in the league. Like,
yeah, and from Tennessee. You were going to say it. Go ahead and say it.
For sure. Yeah.
Tennessee, golly.
I mean, there's only so much you can do. But, yes, I think that any kind of attention getting off of Callaway. Now, having said that, I don't know if I was the defensive coordinator playing against Callaway and Traquan Smith, which one of them I think is the number one receiving threat that I go after, I might still stick with shutting down Callaway and seeing if Traquan Smith can catch the ball and not hurt his hamstring. So, I mean, I might challenge the Saints to do that, right? Not even cover him.
You go ahead and just let the Saints throw the ball till he hurt himself. Like, right. Just, hey, leave him wide open. He catch two or three.
He's going to get one touchdown, yeah. But he's done.
Yeah. So, and he'll be, yeah, we got it. So now, Heath, the offensive line, it's intact since the first, one play. How long did it take for McCoy to go out?
Early in the first game, yeah.
So our offensive line is going to be intact for basically the first time this season.
Yeah. You know, I'm a little – I don't know. I mean, we'll see what happens. On the one hand, you think, okay, great. We got all of our starters. We're at full strength. But the way Ruiz has been playing at center, which is his natural position lately, has me a little apprehensive about bringing McCoy back in and putting him back at guard, you know.
Drama. Heath is creating drama.
So one thing, while we're sitting here talking, the Saints injury report came out. McCoy is not even listed on the injury report. Never mind. I'm sorry. Armstead and McCoy are both listed as limited in practice. You've got, for people that weren't there, Chris Hogan was out of practice today, but it says was a personal reason, non-injury related. Oh, okay. Malcolm Roach was sick. Taysom Hill still out with a concussion. Deontay Harris with the hamstring, and then Dwayne Washington with a neck injury.
Now, okay, so let's talk a little bit about this running back situation, because we signed, and there's rumors out there. Do you have any information on the breaking news about the rumor, the Indianapolis running back that Heath was high on?
No, nothing about Mac is his name.
Mac.
Yep, Mac, and we did sign Lamar Miller, former Houston Texan and Miami Dolphin great, to the practice squad, and I assume he's going to be elevated from the practice squad in a couple of days.
Yeah.
He made the Pro Bowl in 2018, man.
He did.
Yeah. We in a situation where we just have to find a way to avoid Kamara getting pounded. I mean, you just cannot keep running that guy 25 times a game. You'll end up doing what they did to McCaffrey. I mean, we talked about it last week, and I was a little bothered by someone pointing out that, oh, he needs to step up and take the ball and carry it, and, you know, and that's what McCaffrey does. I mean, he's been hurt for the last 2 years, but other than that, that's what he does. And, I mean, at some point, I would rather have you know, we do have the issue, whether it's an issue or not, or by design, or that he's not catching a lot of balls. But I'd love to see him go back to the 12 to 15 carries and 6 to 8 catches a game, you know, and that would put him in a position where he's not taking as much pounding.
Yeah. It's going to get interesting at running back now, because, you know, we signed Ozigbo from a practice squad, so he has to stay on the roster for 3 weeks. But now you lose Washington, who I didn't even realize was hurt until a little while ago. When we were talking about this earlier today, I didn't even realize that Washington was hurt. And so now you have, you know, Kamara, obviously. You got Ozigbo there because you got to keep him on the roster for 3 weeks. Who am I missing? Who was the other? Montgomery's at wide receiver now. Who am I? No, not Tony. Who have we had the last few weeks?
Kamara.
When Tony Jones. We had Kamara, Washington, and who else?
Really, they just signed Ozigbo, if I'm saying that right, last week. I mean, I don't know if we had anybody else. I'm sure that there might be somebody that I'm not aware of, but you're talking about somebody way down on the depth.
Alex Armo was there, but he's a fullback.
Well, so. Yeah.
I heard that they had moved Montgomery to the running back room, and it might've just been emergency purposes.
Yeah.
So the point is that we were paper thin at running back.
Yeah.
What was Washington's injury? Do you know?
Neck, I think.
Neck injury.
Because when he got injured, it was on a special teams play, unless it was another injury. And at first I saw him go down, but I thought it was an eye injury, like he got poked in the eye or something.
Yeah, it looked like he was reaching in his face mask, like he got poked in the eye or something.
So obviously it was more serious than it looked.
Yeah.
So, but, yeah, I mean, running back's a serious issue. And
well, the problem we're going to have is unless some of these guys go to IR, we're going to have a problem with just we got too many people on the roster.
Well, you know, the Saints are good for throwing some people on some injury settlements.
Well, right. I mean, they're almost going to have to now, because now we have to carry a second kicker because we signed him from a practice squad. Mm-hmm. We got to carry Ozigbo. We can't put him on practice squad because we signed him from a. So we're going to have a log jam of guys here, especially with all the ones that are coming back now. You got something you got to do with Crawley and Hansen and all these dudes that are coming back now. A few people have gone out, but it seems like we have more than the 53 now, and there's going to be some interesting decisions that are going to have to be made about who goes on IR, who goes back to practice squad, and then as a result, who gets cut off of the practice squad if some of these guys go back.
Yeah, Chase Hansen returned today so that he can be cut.
I mean, I'm like, so? Is that breaking news?
What the hell is he going to do?
That I heard, and honestly, I can't think, it's not my own realization, so someone else said it, so I wish I can give him credit for it, is that the way that the inactives are set up is that because of the rules that changed for COVID, that's why they left McCoy on the, cause I mean, it's obvious. I mean, look, did they really think he was going to come back in 2 weeks? Why didn't he go on IR? But they were suggesting that the roster spots aren't as valuable as they were before because they have a few more of them. So they have a tendency to be able to squeeze a couple of more guys, but I mean, you're still right, Heath. I mean, how many guys can you just, we got an extra running back that we have no intention, but we signed him off a practice squad, so we got to keep him. We got a kicker. I mean, that's the biggest waste. I mean, look, you can, you never know what happened with running backs. So the other thing is the guy we just signed, I'd have to imagine, I know he's a veteran, but at least Azigbo's had 2 weeks of practice, has to have some familiarity. I mean, I get that these there are certain similarities in offense, but at some point you got to understand the offense well enough to actually be productive.
Yeah. Well, I assume between the fact that he was here before
and had a good basic understanding.
Right. So the last couple of weeks, he should have been able to kind of get back in the groove with that enough to, you know, like you said, and some of the plays are kind of vanilla. It's more the terminology than it is the actual play, but
yeah. I'm going to guess when they're bringing these players in for visits, they're interviewing them about what they understand, what offenses they've played in and what they still remember, even if it was a different offense on a different team. Lamar Miller's a pro that's been around, and I'm sure they're saying, like, here's the way that we communicate our calls. Does any of that make sense to you? How did y'all do call? And if he says, oh yeah, that's like, and he can explain a play rather than just like, I don't know, hand me the ball, I'll run.
Yeah, I'll do it.
If he gets there, I'm sure that kind of makes a difference. And plus, you're talking about the Eric McCoy stuff. Like, if we put Eric McCoy on IR, everybody's been freaking out of this. We're going to sign somebody named like Corby Cliffinson, who's going to be on the freaking roster and never play. Like, who cares? Like, we don't need Corby.
Now, is that a real name or did you just make that up? Because that's a good one. I like that.
Corby.
Yeah, you know what? You bring up something I think that's actually really profound, Wesley, is that don't laugh at him, Heath. He has good ideas every once in a while. Is that you're right. It's like, come in. We have two guys. One of them's younger. One of them's more athletic. But the veteran's like, oh yeah, whenever I was in Washington for those 2 years, we ran that same base offense in the stretch zone. So I'm very familiar with it. And your play calling. Yeah. You know, that's what we did when we were in Seattle for that one, for training camp. And you're like, yeah, we got to sign this guy. Cause the other kid's like, just give me the ball, coach. I'll make it happen. You know, you're like, nah. You know, so and you know what's funny is you mentioned that, and it makes me just all of a sudden all these thoughts go through my head is that how often do guys get signed, you know, to rosters to, you know, replace injured guys, and it may be temporary, and you don't pick the best guy, you pick the guy that can fill in the best for 2 weeks, because by the time the other guy's up to speed, it'd be time to cut him. So anyway, that's really profound. Now, I want to talk a little bit about we got Big Nuts Lutz back. And the thing about unlike other position players, you might get, let's say, Traquan or Thomas back. You might need a little practice time to see if he's really ready to go and stuff. But here's the thing with a kicker. You cannot tell me that they weren't kicking and that he knows and the coaching staff knows whether or not he can approach the ball and swing at 100%. And if he's ready, or else why would they have taken him off the IR? They're like, look, coach, he still is about 75%, 80%. He goes in and says, man, I still have some swelling. I still have some pain. So that's a position where I think they know that he's ready. And so now it brings up the whole thing about the kicker. We get him off the practice squad. You got to keep him for 3 weeks. Wesley, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think there's still some carryover from COVID protocols that are going on where – if Lutz, you might like, hey, we think Lutz is good and he's been kicking a little bit. We're going to start practicing, you know, for real next week, 100% with the team. But what if he injures himself or aggravates it or has to slow down or we need to calm down because he feels a little funny after the first day? Well, we don't want Cody Parkey ever kicking for the Saints ever again. So we have to bring somebody onto the team that's better than Cody Parkey but can replace Will Lutz. So they start looking around. And I'm glad that if they thought the only other person that was decent enough to do this is a guy that's off the practice squad and they had to guarantee him for 3 weeks, I'd rather them do that than go, well, there's a guy over there that's not as good, but he's not a roster spot. I mean, we need a good kicker. Like we haven't lost the game yet this year because of kicking, but we've had some that probably would have been a little bit closer more comfortable or less comfortable.
I'd make an argument that we may have won the Giants game.
The Giants game. I agree.
I mean, yeah. Just possibly. Make the argument that maybe
the whole game changes if you have a good kicker, like lots of play calls. If this guy's the best kicker, he may never play for the Saints and he may occupy a roster spot, but he's the better insurance policy because having some guy who can't make field goals isn't an insurance policy at all. We might as well let Kamara kick the field goal.
Here's the thing that I don't get is I watch high school football and these guys make extra points somewhat consistently. I mean, there, I watch college football and these guys who are not bound for the pros kick short field goals and extra points on a regular basis. Heath, why can we not find a guy that can just kick a short field goal? Listen, I get it. He, yeah, don't count on him to make 52 yarders. Don't do it. But 35 yarders, 40 yarders, should we be able to find somebody just to do that?
You would think so. I mean, who knew when the NFL backed up the extra point? I remember thinking, this is stupid. These guys are automatic inside of 40 yards. What difference does it make if they're backing up the extra point? And we get regularly, I mean, what was it? Was it last week or the week before, whatever it was, we had some ridiculous number of extra points missed across the whole league.
And there was a guy, I was watching the red zone, and I don't, you know how they do, they flash back and forth, and he's like, yeah, he's missed 5 extra points this season. And I'm like, what did he just say? There's yeah, no, I don't know who, I'm like, who are they talking about? Because somebody has a kicker on their roster that missed 5 extra points.
Yeah, how's he still on the roster? That's the first question. But, you know, yeah, look. And, you know, while you guys were talking about this, don't be surprised, I guess, now that I think about it, if what's his name, Johnson?
Brian Johnson.
Random
Brian
kicker Johnson.
I should be able to remember that. He's got the same name as the lead singer, AC/DC. He may handle kickoffs, right? Maybe they don't want Lutz running up and trying to boom the ball 70 yards down the field or whatever, so he can stick around
that,
and handle
that's kickoffs. Actually, I didn't even think about that, but that actually makes sense of like you've just the thing where you're just running the ball, kicking as hard as you can. That makes perfect sense.
Maybe it takes a little bit of strain or stress off that injury or, you know, the
injury
that
I would
was
think
there.
That I would think that that's, you know, typically, and maybe even a longer field goal, you know, so maybe they say we're bringing Lutz back and we're going to let him kick from 40 or 45 in, anything over that, we'll give the other kid a shot. If
you know, maybe they brought Lutz in just to make extra points. I mean, that's been an issue. You know? Hey,
yeah,
can you get the extra point in? Yeah, coach, I can do it. We got you. So what if this works and it's kind of like instead of going to the 2 quarterback system, we go to the 2 kicker system and then everybody does it around the league. Has 2 kickers on every roster. Yeah.
Yeah. We should put 2 of them. You know, that would be good in case we ever had an onside kick situation. We can line them both up and nobody would know which
confuse
guy was going to
everybody.
Kick
the ball. See, you thinking. That's what I like about you, Heath. You're always thinking outside the box. Okay. I'm going to start you with you, Wesley, because I haven't really given a lot of thought, but I did write it down as a note, which makes it genius. Who gets cut? There's guys coming back who's not going to be on the roster. I mean, they haven't really announced many cuts, have they?
No.
First, we know it's not the kicker, so please continue.
It's not the kicker or a running back. Right. Zeebo, those are it's up in the air. I think your boy Chris Hogan is probably going to be playing lacrosse again. You know,
save me a spot, coach.
For the championship.
That's probably the personal reason he was cut.
go back and get his uniform and everything issued to him.
If Michael Thomas, whenever he comes back, I mean, that starts making you think little Jordan Humphrey has been deactivated for the last few games in favor of Kenny Stills. That makes you start thinking that when we get to roster spots of people that are being deactivated, it's him. And then if we get, offensive lineman back, Ruiz playing well, when McCoy's healthy, Clapp doesn't really have a position on this team anymore. I mean, he's your backup center. I mean, if Ruiz can now slide over and play center and there's somebody else that can play guard before Will Clapp's put in there. I mean, you don't need the third string center.
And what's been a little bit confusing is the fact that, and I say confusing in the sense that you don't know what would have happened. So what's the true pecking order, but he was injured. Clapp was injured and came back after Throckmorton Mortensen was inserted to the lineup. And so maybe the team's like, hey, you know, we would have gone with Clapp, but since we have this kid in here, he's kind of getting acclimated. They're not much difference. And so now Clapp is kind of just the odd man out mention, they signed old Lamp. It's almost the same spelling.
There's also probably the rumor I saw earlier today. Somebody said that if we were going after Marlon Mack, that a good trade would be they are really short at safety. So PJ Williams for Marlon Mack makes a lot of sense because if we've got PJ Williams is no longer our third string, fourth string cornerback. We have Roby, and now if Crawley's back, Crawley was going to win that starting job over there. opposite of Lattimore.
Boy.
So, you talk about a different.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, man.
Fourth string cornerback now because of Adebo and Roby. But so that makes PJ Williams expendable in that. So that was kind of the rumor of the trading him. But if he doesn't get traded, I mean,
again, well, it makes you wonder if they would cut Heath at safety and or.
I thought he's just been activated for games. I think they have to make a decision on him.
I think he's been playing regularly, and he's a good special teamer. So I don't know. That's what I'm saying. There's going to be some tough choices.
And if Kwan's back, there's Chase Hansen and maybe another linebacker we got a bunch of linebackers.
Yeah.
The unfortunate thing is most of those linebackers I don't think make it to a practice.
McDowell has been around. I think he's Ellis will stick around. He's been playing lately and playing pretty well.
Did you call Dowell McDowell?
Yeah. Hansen was playing well before. He was the guy that stepped in first, and then of course until he got hurt, and so it's a crapshoot how long Hansen and or Hansen or Ellis
nice
just combine nice. Together yeah. And Ellis, yeah, are gonna stay healthy, I don't know.
Well, the question is, would Hellas only count for one roster spot?
There we
so
go.
So if that's the yeah. case, if that's yeah, the
maybe
case,
maybe we can sneak him through as just one.
And if look, McDowell's been making a lot of McTackles, and he's been on McSpecial teams, and so
he's gonna head back to the Golden Arcs.
Exactly. So the point being is that not everybody is in their position to be that position. Not every linebacker on the roster is meant to play linebacker if they're good at special teams, and so he could be a McTackler that they like on McSpecial teams.
Yeah.
And he might make the McRoster. So we'll have to see. So
for clarification, his name is Andrew Dowell.
Not McDowell. Okay. Well, that's more fun with McDowell.
Wait, wasn't it Coming to America? What was that? McDowell's?
Yes,
McDowell's.
That's what I was thinking of when I said it.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, so Jameis Winston, our weekly Jameis Winston. So here, I want to talk about that Jameis one-on-one or one-of-one or something. He's wild.
Let's
not talk about it.
Listen up.
Okay, so let's go. 2021 third down and red zone passer rating. Jameis Winston, third down conversion, 113. I would have not have guessed that. Tom Brady, 88. That's actually their passer rating. Third down on
not a completion percentage.
Yeah, sorry.
113%
completion percentage. Did I actually say that?
You didn't say it. You implied it.
It
sounded like it.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, Tom Brady, 88.7. Patrick Mahomes, 92.7. Ravens Lamar Jackson, 58.3. God, could you imagine if that guy was up there in the 80% third down conversion? It'd be incredible.
Was Lamar Jackson available when the Saints were drafting the draft that he came out?
Oh, we have Jameis Winston, who leads. I don't know if he leads the league, but he leads all these people I'm mentioning.
I'm going to say it.
He leads the league. That's the thing is, all I know is he leads these big names on the list.
Is Kirk Cousins on the list?
Yeah, he might be number one. So I don't know that. So
isn't Jameis historically strong in that?
Yes. This is nothing new.
It's not new, yeah.
This is not something for this year.
And the next number I'm going to point out, it's not new either. So people can talk about it's just so tired. Old Jameis. You watch football, especially on the days when you watch in the red zone and you don't have the Saints playing and you see all these mistakes that other quarterbacks make. You just don't pay attention to when you have Drew Brees because just that team's not good or whatever. But when you hyper focused on it, you're like, golly, there's Mahomes making some dumb interception. Well, anyway, let me finish this. Josh Allen, 92.7. Now let's go to the red zone. Jameis Winston, 135.4, not percent. That's his rating. All right. Tom Brady, 109. Patrick Mahomes, 93. Lamar Jackson, 102. Josh Allen, 93. These are some big name quarterbacks.
Yeah, Jameis Winston's numbers higher than all of those other ones you're reading, right?
Yes. In both categories. So
that was considerably. That's the point. Okay.
But I'm really trying to drive the point home. So my point is, and this is going to, go into the next topic or thing that I'm going to say is that I think there's the common, it's almost like this arrogant Saints fan that, Jameis saying, we ain't going to get him. We ain't going to pay him a contract. We're going to go get, Watson or or Wilson. Yeah, we just get that guy. And the fact of the matter is, I think that it's much more likely than even Jameis Winston supporters think that Jameis Winston will be on the Saints, and he will be on the Saints for a good contract. I'm not talking about any blockbuster thing. Now, if he keeps playing and improving his play, but I think that you look at a guy like Cousins, he's the quintessential quarterback that's just good enough that you can't just get rid of him and start all over, but not quite good enough to consistently make the playoffs and ever really challenge for a Super Bowl. And I'm not suggesting that Jameis Winston is that. It just shows you that, man, you don't have to be the best in the league for a team to give you a good contract and keep you as their starter, because it's so hard to find the guy that we all want to be the starting quarterback. Who wants to go first?
Well, Cousins is the poster boy for a quarterback getting way more money than what he was worth, as far as, I mean, he literally reset the market for quarterbacks in not a good way. You know,
as he did far the as, 3 years, $90 million, all $90 million guaranteed.
Guaranteed, the way he signed with that. $30 million a year for a guy at that point that just, you know. Now, look, I think Cousins a little better than a lot of people. If you look at his numbers, there's some other things there with the Vikings. It's not all Cousins and everything, but he should not have gotten the kind of money he did. I mean,
that was a desperation move because, listen, let's look at all these quarterbacks, Wesley, Tua. I mean, do you want to be Washington Redskins? Do you want to be one of these teams that keep drafting first round draft picks that, you know, that bust? The point is that when you look at it, I mean, you don't have to be a top 10 quarterback. As long as a coach says, man, I can find a way to work with this guy and win, I don't want to use the word stuck because it sounds like I'm picking on Winston, because the season's too young to make a determination either way. But at the end of the day, if Winston is just solid, there's a damn good chance that the Saints are going to have no choice. We just move up and get the next Drew Brees. It ain't that easy. Even if you can move up, you give up all this these assets to move up, and then you don't know what you're going to get.
For sure. So a couple of things on that. One, I'll just say Kirk Cousins. When he was with Washington, a lot of Saints fans wanted him to be coming here after Drew Brees. There was things that he did. He played a couple of good games against the Saints, and people were like, oh, he has enough accuracy. If you get him with Sean Payton, that guy could take the same kind of career trajectory that Brees. Everybody likes to forget that because it's fun to pick on him, but there was a lot of Saints fans that were hoping that Cousins would have come here if Brees retired 37 or 38. So a couple of weeks ago, I went on record with that I was worried that this was going to be Jameis's only season with the Saints. And I'll backtrack that and say I definitely can see him signing a contract and staying here now. The kind of coupled with that, I've caught myself doing the same thing, and I don't know if I just used to ignore it. I didn't care about comparing everything I watched on Sundays to Jameis Winston, but now I do. And all these games that I watch, I see more Jameis Winston, quote unquote, type throws from every other quarterback than I see more from other every quarterback. I mean, I know we're talking about Mahomes and he's had a weird year, but I see it in every game from every quarterback
every week.
Really dumb decisions. And there's been a couple of games where I don't know if Jameis has made any plays like that. And then a couple where he made one or two, and they'll show the highlight of him throwing three touchdowns and then show the highlight of his one weird
wacky play.
And it's like, he's really, I mean, working. He's doing the right stuff to get rid of that reputation. But you watch the game and he had a weird year where he threw a lot of interceptions. He also threw a lot of touchdowns and a lot of yards. And he's not playing that way. And it looks like everything from his interviews to the way he is on the field, it looks like he's bought into what Sean Payton wants him to do. That leads me to think that Sean Payton's going to like that. And he's going to want somebody that wants to do his system, is going to listen to him, is going to, you know, welcome feedback. And so far, Jameis is doing that. And so there's no reason to think. And the other thing I thought you were going to say, Jameis wants to be here.
Yes.
I don't know if I've ever had a player that's been at he's really been here a year, who talks more about New Orleans and Sean Payton. And he still talks about Drew Brees. And he talks about these players around him like he's been here his entire career and has grown up with them and is a fan of all of them, not just we're trying to do this. He's so complimentary of everybody else in the organization. It sounds like he really does want to be a part of it. And so I think that he's going to sign a big contract after this year, but it could be at a discount for New Orleans.
Yeah. And okay. And so what and is I say discounts
25 million, 20, you know, up to he can earn.
Yeah. Yeah. And
he's not going to fleece us for 35 million a year though.
Heath, I think there's a lot of people out there who are just like, they're quarterback snobs now. They think that, oh no, we're just going to get the next great quarterback. Jameis can't cut it. He ain't. Right. And again, I'm not even talking about people who are anti the anti Jameis guys are just like, he sucks. He'll never be any good. No matter what he does, they just dislike him. And I mean, I'm looking at it. And to me, unless he has a meltdown, because I personally think that based on what he's done, I see him improving when the receiving core gets better, when Michael Thomas comes back. I don't see him regressing. I don't see all of a sudden that Sean Payton's going to allow him to be the quarterback that just starts making all these boneheaded mistakes. So I do this to you all the time, Heath. I don't leave you enough meat on the bone. No, go ahead and give us your thoughts.
I agree completely. I think when you look at the numbers that you went over earlier, that Jameis Winston has always been good at. He's a good red zone quarterback. He's a good third down quarterback. He's good when it's money time. Okay. Now you add this year, you look at he's still got two interceptions or three?
It's three now.
Okay. Three. So three. Okay. To how many touchdowns is it?
12.
Now? 12. 12. Okay. But what we've seen is a definite reduction in the mistakes that he made, at least that one year that's gotten him such the bad rap or whatever. Okay. You know, he's making good decisions for the most part. He's throwing a deep ball about as pretty as I've ever seen anybody. You know, I mean, I don't think he could throw it any better going down the field. He needs to clean up the short ones a little bit more, ironically, but like also with Wesley said, his attitude, the guy wants to be here. He's showing a good attitude and maturity. I think he appreciates the opportunity to be on the Saints and working with Sean Payton. And I think he realizes that he's on the verge of being handed the keys to the Ferrari, as they say. Okay. You know, I can't imagine a guy being in a hurry to get out of New Orleans in the position that he's in. And so unless he has a meltdown, like you said, Dave, I think he's going to continue to get better, or if he just continues to be solid, I think the Saints would, and he would be able to get together and work out a contract that works for both sides. That'll have some incentives added into it. It'll be good enough, you know, real money. Okay. It's not going to be another one of these $10 million deals but it won't be ridiculous, but he'll have an opportunity to bring it up to those kind of numbers based on performance. And I have a feeling that Jameis Winston would be more than happy to work out some kind of a deal like that to stay in this situation with this coach and this franchise. And you know, especially once, assuming Michael Thomas gets back or we wind up bringing in somebody else. Because if the Michael Thomas situation keeps going on, this is going to be the end of Michael Thomas in New Orleans. There's no way you're going to have me believe that he'll miss the rest of this season or most of it. And this won't become a serious, contentious situation between him and the team if it's not already. Go ahead.
Sorry. With this roster that we put together, this team has no business being 3-2 with the injuries we have. And we could be 4-1. Based on Jameis's play, we should be 4-1. I don't know if the Giants game is his fault. He played well in that game.
Right.
But we're talking about wide receivers that most of them would not get any more than a veteran minimum if all of them were on the market. We've got tight ends. His number one catching tight end has been a blocking tight end all year because our number one blocking tight end hasn't played a single snap. And then the last two games, the best running back at catching the ball in the entire NFL has had to be a pure running back because he hasn't had a backup. So we've literally taken away just about every tool he could have as far as the things that should make him above average. And I don't think there's many quarterbacks in the NFL that would have handled this situation very well and still had a winning record. I mean,
I'm going to add on this because this is not the direction, the direction I was really trying to go. Yeah. It was that I think people are going to be surprised that Jameis Winston, I mean, the team's going to look at him and say, we don't really have much of a choice. He's played pretty solid. And that's assuming he stays right here. But then let's take it to the next level, because I'm the first one to get so aggravated listening to shows and people talk who just talk about Jameis in a vacuum and his play in a vacuum, and he's got to do this better and he's got to do that better. I don't care who's that quarterback. If me, you, and Heath were the receivers, there will be issues. And the man has had nothing to work with. And when you take that into consideration, I mean, I just don't know how you can't look at this and just say, I get it. You need the whole season, because look, five games. Well, what team was it back during, golly, the more Wilson came in and we went 5-0. He was a starting quarterback. And then after that, it was a tailspin. It was a disaster. The point is 5-0, plenty of teams go 5-0 and then end up just crashing and burning, not making the playoffs. So who knows what's going to happen? You need a season to figure it out. But as it stands right now, the man has overperformed any expectations. The problem is it's been cloaked in the fact that it's been really conservative because the team had to play that way. You mentioned it, and I never thought about it from that perspective, is Kamara's had to play running back. The team is a running team because I don't believe they have confidence in the receivers and the skill positions. In addition, listen, I believe the first couple of games, they weren't overly confident in Jameis either.
Right.
But you can see that even with the limited resources, they are now loosening it up a little bit, letting them pass a little bit more. And sooner or later, you're going to start seeing more passing on first downs. The Saints will become less predictable. And I only see this getting better. So again, this wasn't where I was meaning to go with, Jameis is great.
Yeah, but what it is, it's a natural phenomenon to some extent, right? And we've seen this before. As an LSU fan, once Nick Saban came in and won a national championship, then now you expect to be at the top and you expect all of the top coaches to, people now literally think that Dabo Swinney is going to quit at Clemson and come to LSU,
Yes.
Or when you have somebody like Drew Brees, they forget what the 40 years before Drew Brees was like as Saints fans when we never had a legit quarterback at all. And now they think you're going to go out and get Wilson or Watson or Winston, Wilson, Watson. I'm sensing a
So we've all recovered that, man.
But the bottom line is so that's part of it. The other part of it is, quite frankly, and I don't mean to insult people listening. Certainly our listeners are more educated. A lot of these people talking about the Saints don't know shit about football, right? That's the bottom line. Your casual fan really doesn't know what the hell they're talking about. They're mimicking paraphrasing of what somebody else said around a water cooler one day. So they think they know what they're talking about with Jameis Winston. They really have no idea.
Okay, so I'm just going to double down on what you just said. Then I start listening to – I've actually expanded my podcast listening because I have more time. And stuff I never listened to, and I'm like, let's give this a shot. And you realize where some of these fans like Twitter and whatnot get it from. There are other people out there who are just fans with a voice, and this is what the world has come to. And they're saying things, and it's just absolutely insane. It's just like, they don't look anyway. I'm not gonna go much deeper in that. But the point is, when you get people with a voice saying things that just make no sense, and that's what people hear, and they do. Yeah, that. And then they repeat it. All right, let's switch gears a little bit. Do you guys have much to say about Seattle? Wesley, any thoughts on this game coming up on Monday night? And who decided to have a bye week and then give us a game on Monday night? Two weekends in a row with no football. That's just not right.
Well, we negotiated out with the NFL because we knew everybody was going to be injured, and it gives everybody an extra day to practice. Trying to make up for the past.
And people will still say that the league is against us, and that proves it's not.
This Seattle team that we're going into play, this is not the vaunted Seattle defense of years past. This is a team that's struggling. They haven't been tackling well. They've been terrible against the pass. Hopefully we have some people that want to catch the ball in this game, because they've got bad cornerback and safety play. They've got Geno Smith playing instead of Russell Wilson. And Geno Smith, I will say, been completely impressed by him the last 2 weeks, but it's because his name's Geno Smith. I mean, if he was Russell Wilson, I'd be disappointed with probably what he's done the last 2 weeks, but this is Geno Smith, who clearly has made, I didn't realize he's a 9-year veteran now. It seems like not that long ago, and everybody's freaking out about him being drafted and how who knows if he was bad? He played for the Jets. Everybody.
Right.
That's not his fault. But he's been super composed, and I've been really impressed with him. I think he's going to earn himself a pretty decent backup job somewhere next year, if contract raise. But it's still Geno Smith. And if we do what we're supposed to, which is, you know, put pressure on him, and the way our cornerbacks are playing, like this could not be a close game. There's ways. Obviously, we've seen the Saints lose to the Giants, who are also a terrible team that just lost 38-3 last week. But we've got to play. But the Seattle's not the team of past right now.
One of the things, Heath, that I listened to fans, and this went back to even the Giants game, and they're, oh man, that guy sucks, and he won't be able to beat us. And then I watched Geno Smith play, and I'm like, okay, sucks. And this is where it's misleading. This is where the wrong impression. When people say somebody sucks, it's because he's not on the level of the top performers. And if you put the right pressure on them, they'll crack. At some point, they'll give you the ball. They'll give you a turnover. They'll lose the game. But Geno Smith and many other quarterbacks, if you don't find a way to put pressure on him, he can beat you.
Yeah, he can. I mean, Geno Smith is better than the Geno Smith that we remember after he got drafted and went to the Jets. And, you know, like Wesley alluded to, though, that just being out of New York is part of the reason for that. But, you know, like you say, he's a 9-year veteran, and that is surprising. I, you know, in my mind, I'm probably thinking maybe 5 to 6 years, not 9.
Same.
But the bottom line is he's stuck in the league for this long, and he's playing well right now. He's obviously, you know, matured and gotten better as a quarterback. And, yeah, you better believe that Geno Smith on any given day has the skills to beat you if you don't play him right. And so, but the other thing about this is with Seattle is that, you know, our memory of Seattle and our history against Seattle is a little rough, especially playing in Seattle. However, this is not those teams, you know, they don't have Marshawn Lynch, and they don't have this week, they're not even going to have Russell Wilson, and they don't have the Legion of Boom in the backfield. And this is definitely not the same team. That said, you know, Seattle's not an easy place to play, man. The 12th man, the whole thing, there's some passionate, loud fans. They're going to be into it no matter how good the team's record is or not. So the Saints have to show up and play, but we should, if we do what we, you know, need to do, we should be able to win this game.
Wesley, you got anything to throw on top of that?
Was it the Seahawks are third from last in rushing yards allowed this season and fifth from the last in passing yards allowed this season. I mean, we've just got to come in with a good game plan. The Saints defense is good enough to where if our offense does not turn over the ball, we should win games. Most teams are going to have problems with us in that. We should probably make a few field goals and some extra points if we're just, you know,
be nice.
Stacking up the points. This is a classic. This isn't a very good team. They don't have their superstar quarterback. Now, I mean, DK Metcalf is a big guy. We got to keep somebody around him because, I mean, anybody in the world can throw up the ball and he can have a decent shot at catching it. And we can't play stupid, but we can't turn over the ball. Just, you know. Play our game, and we can win this game.
DJ Metcalf's no little Jordan Humphreys, but he has his moments.
Is DK's brother named DJ? Yeah. Does he even play football, Dave?
I ain't talking to you no more. All right.
DJ Metcalf.
Yes. Yeah. any final thoughts, Heath?
No, I'm just glad to be getting all these guys that we're getting back. It'll be good to get a look at the team closer to full strength than what it was supposed to be that we haven't seen yet this year. And so, you know, it may take them a little while to kind of readjust and with these different guys in there but I don't know, man, I just, you know, hopefully this ascends from here. You know, we made it 3-2 through that stretch.
It's a rough stretch. It was a rough stretch too.
Yeah, it was and you know, like you said, really, we should be 4-1. I mean, we really had no business losing to the Giants, but so you know, and now we're getting stronger. Then next week, we know we'll have Onyemata back because this will be the sixth game, and so it just should continue to get better so long as we can keep them all healthy from here on out, or at least most of them.
Wesley,
I'm excited, man. This the offensive line being back healthy is a big thing to me, because we can run the ball now. We can get some pass protection to give Jameis some time. And then as we step in here, I'm really excited about Onyemata coming back next week. I think that's a big one for us. We need some defensive interior line pressure. As this team gets healthier, this is a, I think this is a dangerous team. We've been super shorthanded, missing 8 or 9 starters, out of 23 starters, and still doing this well. We're right where we need to be, and we couldn't ask for more, really.
All right. Well, I think that's about all the show we have for you guys, and we want to thank you. We don't do it enough. Thanks to everyone for listening, and appreciate your coming in and supporting us.
Are you thinking also the people you insulted for being dumb?
Yeah, no, I was going to ask Heath, is there anybody
smart
else?
Smart people and dumb people. Yeah, thank both you, everybody.
Of you. Well, thank you. Appreciate to all of you.
All of you.
for Heath Elson-san, Mick Elson-san, and Mick Wesley Coleman, I'm Dave Romero. You've been listening to the BS and Beer podcast, and we will talk to you next week.
And anyway, the person who sits here is but the most conspicuous member of a superb team of journalists, writers, reporters, editors, producers, and none of that will change. Furthermore, I'm not going away. I'll be back, and that's the way it is.
Oh, I don't waste time to tune into our podcast. Oh, go give your time. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. Ooh. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. Ooh. Oh, but don't waste time.